Well, good morning. It's good to see your smiling faces this morning. I assume that you're all ready to receive everything that the Lord wants to download into each and every one of us. I believe you probably came hungry for the Word and for the truth and for the anointing that flows from our brother. I told him last night when we were fellowshipping that we're just going to suck everything out of him that he's got in him, all right? So I want you to draw on the anointing. It's the anointing that'll break the yoke, set the captives free, remove the burdens. Amen. And this is a day and an hour of increase for the body of Christ. I believe that this is your greatest hour, church. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Well, we're going to pray. I have a couple announcements I need to make so that you understand how we'll flow here today and then also next Saturday on the 11th. Brian will be with us again, so praise God. We're going to believe God for the roads to all the snow to melt, amen, the ice to melt, and glory to God, have a smooth pathway to get to us. Well, Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for the hungry hearts that you've set in this place today. I thank you for the precious Holy Spirit who teaches and guides us, leads us. I thank you, Lord God, for all that you're going to do today within us, that there will be a release of that which you want to do through us. And Lord, we bless you for that in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen, amen. I don't know if you came prepared or not. Our invitation was bring a sack lunch, okay? And Brad, if you want to come up here and explain to all of us what's going on today. I'm new here, so, you know, you guys got to give me some grace, all right?
Yes, so anyone that did not bring a sack lunch, you're more than welcome. We invite you to partake from our food service kitchen. We have chili, Sam's famous chili, and that's always good. We'll have a garden salad and some other goodies, some bologna and cheese and crackers, and you'll also have some treats like cream cheese bites, brownie bites, and I don't know if there's any fudge back there or not. And, excuse me. And some pretzels. All righty. Thank you.
And that'll be somewhere in that noonish hour, okay, somewhere in there. Once Brian gets the mic, he's in charge, all right? I'm going to just take a back seat somewhere. The other thing I'd like to mention to you, if we want to bless this man of God and bless the ministry in which he represents and to support him and all his God adventures, which are amazing. I'm certain you'll probably catch a few of them here today. If not, I believe he's probably got some books with him. I'll encourage you to purchase if you've never read his book. But what I will have is, these are offering envelopes, and what I need to instruct you with is, if you'll make out checks, if you're, you know, no pressure, you understand me, God loves what kind of giver? Cheerful giver, amen. So, you know, if you can't be cheerful about it, hold on to it until you get there, all right? Amen. Because why? I want you to have a return, okay? I believe it's good measure pressed down, shaken together, and running over will God cause men to give into your bosom. Because why? This is a day increase in the body of Christ. Can you shout amen in this house? So these are offering envelopes. If you're giving in cash, we encourage you to fill it out. If you're a guest with us, we certainly welcome you and are so honored to be with you as well. And if you're giving in check, if you'll make them out to Abundant Life Center, and then in the memo, put on there Brian Wills, okay, so that we make it easy on the accountant. And, you know, then they'll do their job, and then he'll get his offering, okay? So that's the way it works. And if you didn't come prepared, we understand. But, you know, we will be doing this again next Saturday, and I want to encourage you, don't miss anything that God wants to put inside of us today, in this day and hour, because you and I are living in a critical time. And God has prepared you for such a time as this. And I believe that these meetings are going to be part of the preparation so that you can impact and cause more and accomplish more than you ever have before, especially when it comes into the healing ministry and preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Can you say amen to that? All right. So these will be available to you. There's an offering envelope, or what do you call this? Salad bowl. There's one of these right here. All right. They said that. I don't want to be offensive, but anyhow, there's one on this side and that side. And I want to encourage you. When I find good ground, I want to sow. You know, not that I have to. It's like I have opportunity. And I want this to be an opportunity for us to obey God in our giving, okay? But also, I believe that we're going to help him to accomplish some of the tasks that he has before him. And after spending a couple hours with him yesterday, I'm thinking, wow, what a grace on a brother's life. Amen? Well, Brian, I'm done, and it's all on you.
Well, good morning, everybody. How many of y'all are blessed? Amen. Let's all stand up, if you would, and let's just take a moment and just lift up our hands and just get our attention, get our focus on the Lord. And this is the day that the Lord has made. Amen. And so lift up your hands, if you would, and we just thank you, Lord. Just begin to talk to the Lord, if you would, this morning. Lord, we just commit this day to you. Lord, we thank you for your presence that's here. And Lord, we thank you that you've never changed, that you're the great physician, that you're the Lord, our healer. And so this morning, we come hungry, we come thirsty, we come ready to receive from your word, to receive from your spirit, Lord. We just ask you, Lord, to download, just give us a Holy Ghost download today, Lord. I pray that that people that have come, Lord, that you would minister to the hearts and the minds of each and every person, to their bodies. If people need healing today, Lord, I think if that you stretch out your hand to heal, you stretch out your hand to heal, that mighty signs and wonders and miracles would be done in the mighty name of Jesus. So, Lord, today we give you praise. We give you honor. Come on, church, just give him praise. Give him honor this morning. Oh, we lift up holy hands in this place. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for all that you've done for us, all that you're doing. Oh, thank you, Jesus, that you never change, that you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. And all God's people said, amen. 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 Let's give a big shout this morning, if you would. Let's give a shout to the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And before you're seated, just turn around to give somebody a high five in Jesus' name. Say, God loves you. I love you. And God's got more for you in 2025. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, I first want to just say welcome this morning, but it's an honor for me to be with you and to be here at this church. And, you know, it's I know that the healing ministry was really something that was in Pastor Bill's heart. And we talked back in October, and he shared, you know, some of the vision and the things that he had in his heart. And I just feel quite honored, all right, to be coming here this Saturday and next week, and just sharing with you about healing and getting this healing ministry launched off the ground. Amen. And so I think one of the greatest ways that we can honor Pastor Bill is to get hold of healing like we've never gotten hold of it. Are you with me? You know, we're not called to pray for the sick as much as we're called to heal the sick. And the church needs to get its act together, all right? The body of Christ, we've got all the tools, all the equipment, all the authority, everything that we need, and so we should be doing the works of Jesus. How many of y'all in agreement this morning? Amen? And so I think it's a perfect time. You know, as much as you've heard about healing, guess what? It's a perfect time to know more about healing. And it's not so much how much you know, it's what you're doing with it, okay? And so I'll just, for some of you that may not know who I am, my name is Brian Wills, and we have a ministry called Healing for the Nations. I have a book called 10 Hours to Live, and I have some copies out there, and for some of y'all that might be interested. But when I was 22 years of age, I was given a death sentence, so to speak, by the doctors, and I was one day away from leaving for Europe to play professional tennis. I thought I was in the best shape of my life, and I went into a hospital, and they thought I had a kidney stone or appendicitis, and then after several days of testing, the doctor walked in and gathered our family together and said, he looked at me, said, young man, I've got bad news to tell you. You've got the fastest growing cancer in the world, and you have 2 weeks or less to live. So that was not on my radar screen at 22 years of age. Everybody say, but God. But God. And so I had a tumor that grew from the size of a golf ball to the size of a basketball in 72 hours. So if you looked at me within 3 days, it looked like I was 9 months pregnant. And then the cancer, the type of cancer it was, the tumors double in size every 4 to 8 hours. All right, so I'm looking at the clock, all right, and I was given, doctors told my parents, you know, go ahead and make the funeral arrangements because your son is dying. And so at 22, I was given that death sentence, so to speak. Thank God for our family. We rallied together. We made a decision. We're going to stand on the Word of God. We're going to believe God no matter what we see, no matter what we feel, no matter what we hear. And whose report do we believe? We shall believe the report of the Lord. Can we give a shout out this morning to Jesus, this report? Amen. And so that's my background. But also before that, I grew up Baptist, and my parents back in the 70s, there was the move of the Spirit, the charismatic revival. They were in charge of about 120 young people in our Baptist church, and when they got filled with the Holy Ghost, we moved from Baptist to Bapticostal, put it that way. And when you get 120 people, young people filled with the Holy Ghost, it completely changes the climate of your church. Okay, so and then they got into the healing ministry, and so they would do a lot of hospital and nursing home and shut in ministry, and so we had a foundation. And so when I was a young boy at like 8, 9, 10 years of age, you know, I would be on the stage with, you know, different healing ministers. Because at that time, you know, if you're 12 and under, you could sit on the stage and watch all the miracles. You could watch Catherine Kuhlman, you know. You could watch, you know, different ones that were used mightily by God back then. So at a young age, I saw these miracles. I saw instant miracles. I saw instant healings, okay? Blind eyes being opened, deaf ears being opened, okay? And so at a young age, when you see the real, when you see the power of God, there's nothing like it. There's nothing in all the world that can substitute when you see the real power of God. And so then, of course, fast forward a few years later, then I'm the one, all right, who's been given, you know, a bad diagnosis. So anyway, that's kind of a little bit of a background with how I kind of got into the healing ministry. So now I go around and I share, do these types of trainings. And, you know, sometimes I'm going to the same churches year after year after year, just keep building more and more about healing. And so there's, you know, healing is a big subject, okay? There's no way I'm going to be able to answer all the questions, okay? And when I go overseas, I teach like 40 hours, okay, just on what I'm trying to impart, you know, today and next week. And so we're going to just ask the Holy Spirit to kind of lead us and guide us. And one of the things I like to do is just try to present things in visually or in pictures, okay? And so some things we'll do this morning. And so what we're really concentrating on is not so much of the basics of healing. I mean, can we all agree that it's God's will for us to be healed? Is everybody in agreement today that it's always God's will for us to be healed? Amen. Jesus purchased it 2,000 years ago. Jesus provided it. And everything that we need in life, God has already provided for us. How many of y'all are in agreement with that? Amen. And but we're really going to focus on, we're going to touch on some basics, some high points, but really my goal is to get you moving into the healing ministry. Okay. All right. And I think that's the real purpose. And so we're going to look at a couple of things just to kind of shake your thinking a little bit and then try to really start to pray for the sick and minister to the sick and minister healing. Amen? Amen. How many of y'all have a desire to be in the healing ministry? How many of y'all have a desire to see more sick people get healed? Amen. And so, good. I'm at the right place this morning. Amen. All right. Turn in your Bible, if you would, to Mark chapter 16 and also John chapter 14. You know, we're getting ready to step into, I believe, one of the greatest healing and miracle moves and revivals of all time. Thank God we can look back at former days, former moves. You know, in the 40s and 50s, it was the greatest move in the United States. It was called the Voice of Healing Days. And I have several friends of mine that were in those meetings. And they said about those meetings, if you could just get in the atmosphere, if you could just touch the brick of the building where Amy Simple McPherson was ministering, or if you could just get under the tent where Oral Roberts was ministering, that you could be healed of anything, anything. All right. And so people came from all over the world. People were healed. People were set free. All right. Just getting into the meetings, there was such an expectation of those meetings. Well, guess what? I believe that we're getting ready to step into is far greater. It's far greater. For the glory of the latter house shall be greater than the glory of the former. Okay? So thank God we can look back at the former. All right? But I believe what we're stepping into in this whole COVID deal, I said, well, that's the enemy's plan, but God has a bigger plan. All right? And when you look at church history and you look at different moves of God, usually it was precipitated by a pandemic or something, you know, along those lines. And so what the devil meant for good, come on now, devil meant for bad, but the devil meant for bad, God will turn for good. How many of y'all believe that? Okay. And so this is the perfect timing, all right, for a great move of the Spirit of God. And so, Mark chapter 16, verse number 15. Anybody tell me the last 11 words of Jesus? It's what Jesus said. And these signs shall follow those who, what? Believe. How many of y'all believers are in the house? Amen. Now, I have two rules this morning, okay? Yeah, anybody follow the rules? Okay. All right. Two rules this morning. Be willing to learn or unlearn something. And number two, be willing to respond. So when it's time to respond, be willing to respond. Okay. Amen. So it says believers shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Everybody say, these signs shall follow every believer. That means these signs shall follow me. That's what Jesus said. These signs shall follow every believer. All right? And believers shall what? Lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Now, I don't particularly like that translation, recover, because in the Greek it actually means to be being well. So, in light of Jesus' ministry, when he when he ministered to them, they started being well. Okay? All right? In other words, the recovery started. All right? But there was a manifestation of the power of God. All right? That began, they began to amend. All right? Or they were immediately, straightway, all right, they were healed. Okay? And so, in the English language, the word recover just kind of gives you the impression that it's going to take a process. It's going to take some time. Now, yeah, it can. I mean, because everybody, we need to, I'm trying to change your thinking for a second. Yes, there are times that we have to stand on the Word of God, use our faith, okay, and that sort of thing. All right? But we need to also learn how to put a demand on the power of God that's available. All right? And see, what has happened over the years is that we've heard a lot of the Word of God, which is great, because God's Word is healthy, health and medicine and life, and Proverbs 4, verse 20. But Paul said in the New Testament that your faith would not just stand in the Word, but that your faith would stand in the power of God. And so that's where we need to move into. And we may do an exercise this morning that kind of helps you understand the power of God in a different way. Okay. Now, the other thing is, you know, I go to universities. Okay. I've spent a lot of time at Penn State. All right. We've trained students in the healing ministry. We've done missions trips overseas. I say this, if I can take 20 students on a college campus and train them in the healing ministry and get them to think the right way, then we'll get the right results. And so, you know, I love going into college campuses and putting up big banners, big signs, come see miracles, okay? You know, because I believe we need to put Jesus out there, all right? Front and center. And we need to believe that have faith in the power of God to manifest, okay? And so anyway, we see athletes come, you know, to these meetings that are all on crutches, and, you know, football players that have been injured, they're supposedly out for the season, all right? And then we pray for it when the power of God hits them, all right? The crutches go off to the side and they start running around the room, and, you know, and then the next morning they're back to practice and the coach calls them over and says, "What happened to you? I thought you were out for the season." They say, "Well, listen, last night on campus there was this miracle service and Jesus touched my body and I'm all well." And so now they're able to do a morning practice and an afternoon practice. And then the coach says, "Listen, I want you to come over and we're going to sit all the guys down. I want you to tell all the guys what happened to you last night." And when they share that testimony, some of the other guys are like, "Hey, I'm kind of banged up, you know, I've got this, can I come tonight?" And so then the next night you have basketball players, football players, all right, coming to be healed. They want to see the real. How many know that we have the real? Amen. Amen. Everybody say, "I'm a believer. Signs follow me wherever I go." Amen. Amen. All right, let's get this. John chapter 14, verse 12. Does anybody want to quote it? John 14, verse 12.
"Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do, because I go to the Father."
How many of y'all believe in Jesus? Jesus said, "The same works I do, you shall also do in greater works." You know, like in Matthew chapter 11, where it says that John was in prison and he sent two of his disciples to ask Jesus, "Are you the one, or do we look for another?" And Jesus said this. He said, go tell John the things that you hear and the things that you see. He said, "For the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, all right? The deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them." You know, when I look at that passage, I say, you know, this is what Jesus is all about. Five out of the six things that Jesus mentioned is all about miracles. How did Jesus wish to be portrayed? Miracles. When I go into the Muslim world, when they see a miracle, that settles the issue. You know, when I first got healed and I started going into different denominational churches, and I started sharing my testimony, how the Lord healed me of cancer. And I was so shocked at the response that I was getting. I'd go into these churches, you know, and I'd share this testimony, and then as people were leaving, they'd come shake my hand and they'd look at me like, yeah, well, that was a really good story. And I was like, so after a while, I was like, they keep telling me the same thing. Yeah, thank you for coming to our church. That was a really good story. And I'm thinking, do they really believe what I was saying? Or so I finally was like, okay, like I need to find out a little bit more. So this lady stopped me. She said, oh, thank you, young man, for coming. That was a beautiful story. And I was like, okay, hold on one second. I said, a story. Like, I said, do you believe the story? And she goes, well. And I said, what do you mean, well? I said, this is my testimony. It's about Jesus. This is what Jesus did in my life. And I said to her, so are you really a Christian? Well, she's like, well, of course I am. I said, well, good, because if anyone should believe in miracles, Christians should believe in miracles, because everything about Christianity is based upon one miracle after another miracle after another miracle after another miracle. I mean, a virgin birth. Hello. Okay. All right. Walking on water. Hello. Taking a little boy's lunch and feeding thousands of people. All right. Blind eyes being opened. Everything that we believe as Christians, if anybody, should believe in miracles. So sometimes we have to remind ourselves, wait a minute, that's who we are. We should expect Jesus to do miracles. Okay. You know, if we can expect Jesus to save people, if someone came in the room today and they were lost, they came to church, heard the gospel, all right, and they came up front and they wanted to receive Jesus, we would expect what? Them to receive Jesus. If someone came in and said, you know what, I haven't heard about the Holy Ghost or about being filled with the Spirit, or, hey, I'd like to get filled with the Holy Ghost, okay? You know, they could come up front and maybe with just a little bit of training or whatever, they, you know, Jesus said, ask and you shall receive. They can receive the Holy Ghost and you know, work on getting their new prayer language and that sort of thing. All right. If someone was oppressed, all right, they came in kind of down and out, you know, we could pray for them. And just like that, the power of God can be released. All right. And then before they leave, their countenance has changed, and oh, you know, you can see a difference in their face, and they leave not the same way that they came. Well, if we can believe for all that, why not healing? It's the same Jesus. It's the same work. It's the same redemption. Hello. It's all the same. All right? And so what we have to do is to build an expectation for healing, just like we do for salvation, because it's exactly the same work. It's sozo, okay? Saved, healed, delivered, set free. It's all the same. And guess what? It's all the same to Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, people in the natural have an expectation about sports figures. I mean, sports figures. Human beings that play sports. You know, so if we were on a basketball court and Michael Jordan showed up, come on now. You know, if we were at the Olympics and Michael Phelps was swimming, okay, you know, gold medal after gold medal. I mean, we would expect Michael Phelps to be what? The gold medalist, okay? I mean, people have the expectations of athletes, okay? Human beings, okay? I mean, we're not talking about a human being. We're talking about the Son of God. We're talking about Jesus Christ, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He is the great physician. He is the great I am. Come on now. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He has not changed. He is the Lord, our healer. Hallelujah. Can we give it up for Jesus this morning? See, God allows us to set the level of expectation. But we allow people to come into through the church doors week after week after week and stay sick. We've allowed that. It's on the church. It's on us. We're called to heal the sick. We're called to do the works of Jesus. We're called to manifest the kingdom here on the earth. We're called to bring change. We're carriers of the anointing of the power of God. Amen. We're carriers and we're to be channels of that power to people who are around us. Are we beginning to get somewhere this morning? Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Go in your Bible, if you would, to Romans chapter 12. So, one thing I'm going to do real quickly, and that is, is that your perspective makes all the difference. In other words, I'm not waiting to be healed. I am healed. But if I adopt a waiting posture, I'm just waiting on God. Hey, if God wants to do it, He can do it. All right. Well, yeah, He can do anything. But you're going to be waiting all your life. Because if that's your perspective, all right, then you're going to just be waiting and waiting and waiting, okay? And so, or if you're very passive, like, well, if God wants to do it, I mean, who am I? But see, we need to see one thing is He already did it. He already did it. He did it 2,000 years ago. The scripture says, "And with His stripes we were healed." So we're not so much trying to get healed as we are healed, but we're resisting the enemy. We're saying no to the enemy stealing our bodies, okay? Bringing sickness, putting sickness on our bodies. We're denying the devil that opportunity. We're saying no in Jesus' name. This is my body. This is the temple of the Holy Spirit. And by His stripes, I was healed. And by His stripes, I am healed. How many are with me?
Amen.
Amen. All right. And so it's a done deal, okay? And so often Christians are asking God to do things that He's already done before. We're looking back 2,000 years ago at what Jesus already accomplished, okay? And so our perspective is much, much different than someone living under the Old Testament. Okay, and so where healing has gone is that healing was provided in the Old Testament. Okay, but we're not living under the Old Testament, and a lot of the healing teaching out there is based upon Old Testament. People are trying to look at the curses and the causes and the all these different things. And the Bible says Christ redeemed us from the curse. Like the curse in Deuteronomy 20 was for the disobedient. And it was only carried down to the third and fourth generation. Hello. Christ redeemed us. Is there any part of redemption that he didn't redeem us from? No, the blood of Jesus was shed on our behalf. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of sickness. Can you say amen? Amen. And so then we move into the cross here, where this is what... This is redemption took place, salvation and healing, all right, took place. And now we need to, when we understand healing, we need to now keep moving into this new creation, all right, this new man, all right. Because people are trying to adopt an Old Testament mindset and believe for healing. But we're now a new species. We have the life of God living inside of us. Sickness is under our feet. Hallelujah. We've been given all authority, all power over all the work of the enemy. You see, you know, when I'll just give you a little about my personal journey with healing is, you know, I had this great testimony. I started ministering in different things, but I was just dissatisfied with results. I mean, that's actually a good thing. Because that'll motivate you to see, okay. And so I remember I was, a friend of mine invited me to come do teaching on faith in a prison. It was in the prison hospital, all right? And so I'm teaching on faith that day, and there was this people in wheelchairs, people all around. And I'm just teaching on faith. And so this, as I'm teaching, the Lord says to me, this guy can come out of the wheelchair. Well, I got nervous. So I went on to the other side of the room. And I'm teaching on faith. And the Holy Spirit says to me, yeah, this guy right here, he can come out of that wheelchair. He can be healed. And I said, I said in my mind, I said, okay, Lord, if you tell me a third time, then I'll believe that it's you. Oh, ye of little faith. All right, so I moved to the other side of the room. All right, and I'm teaching, and then the Holy Spirit says, yeah, tell him today's his day. Today he can come out of that wheelchair, today he can be healed. So third time, okay, I got it. So I stopped and I said to the guy, I said, the Lord just told me that today's your day, that today you can come out of that wheelchair and you can be completely healed. He's like, yes. See, he said, what do we do? I said, we pray. Yeah, we pray. Okay. And so I prayed for him, you know, and he's like, is that it? I said, let me pray again. All right. And when I prayed again, the power of God hit his body, okay, and he began to tremble and shake. And so I didn't know what condition he was in, okay. I didn't know people in a wheelchair, it could be just, you know, a lot of different things. So when the power of God hit him, I said, hey, and I could tell he was weak. He was starting to lift himself up. And I said, hey, if you need help, we'll help you. And he said, no, I don't need no help. He said, you said God told you that today I can be healed. Therefore, I can be healed. I'm like, okay, all right. All of a sudden, faith is in the room. Expectation is in the room. Okay. Well, he took a step, almost fell over, second, third step. When he hit the fourth step, he took off running, okay, around the room, okay, all right. And when that happened, it was like God, the whole atmosphere came, was different. Every prisoner that was standing up in that room, they hit the deck. Just like that. They all fell on their face and they all started pouring their heart out to God. I was like, oh my gosh, what just happened here? Right? The Holy Ghost came and I was like, whoa. You know, and the guy's running around, he's all happy, and everyone else is, oh God, I repent, I'm a sinner, oh God, please forgive me my sin. I'm like, oh my gosh, like, then I'm like, well, I'm the only one standing up besides the guy. I'm like, you know, And so I watched what was happening for like 10, 15 minutes. It was like a move of God, okay, in this prison. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. And there was this big guy. He was right in front of me. And he's like, oh, God, God. He's pouring his heart out to God. He's just like, Lord, I repent. You know. And I said to him, hey, what's God doing with you? What's God doing with you? He goes, oh, preacher, you wouldn't even understand. What? And I said, no, tell me. What do you mean I won't understand? He said, preacher, you won't understand. I was like, okay. What do you mean? He says, and he stood up. He said, preacher, I'm the biggest and baddest dude in this prison. This guy was a monster. He goes, because I'm the biggest and the baddest in this prison, this man that you see that was in that wheelchair, I can tell you I was here the very day that he came here in his wheelchair. He's been paralyzed from the waist down. It's been my job every day to, in the morning, lift him out of his bed into the wheelchair. And at the evening, take him from his wheelchair back to his bed. He said, preacher, what I'm telling you is that you didn't know this, but this man was paralyzed. This is nothing short of a miracle. He said, my God, my God. I said, yeah. It was such a move of God in that prison. In fact, the guy who was healed, the big guy, took his wheelchair, lifted it up like that. We started praising God, praising God, praising God. Okay. And then when it's time for us to leave the room, the guards were there. They were like, what in the world happened? And the big guy said, hey, we're taking Joe in his wheelchair, and we're going to parade it through every cell block in this prison. And we just walked right through the cell blocks. And the prisoner said, "What, Joe, what happened to you? Oh, Jesus healed me. Jesus healed me. Jesus healed me." All right? And we paraded that miracle all through the prison. Well, I left that day and I said, now that's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about. And I said, Jesus, that's the kind of miracles that I want to see. That's the kind of miracles that I see in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. All right? How can the church get there? How can we get there? And so I spent the next 6 months just on my face before the Lord. How can we get there? We need to get there. Okay, and so the Lord began to download different things to me, and mainly changing my thinking, and raising the level of expectation about who Jesus is. Jesus is King of Kings. He's Lord of Lords. Okay, all right. He is the great physician. When Jesus is in church, we should expect Jesus to heal. Hello. Amen? Yeah. Amen? And so a lot of it is changing our thinking, changing our perspective, okay? And yes, everyone needs to know how to believe God for themselves, how to stand in faith, all right? Take hold of the Word of God, okay? Everybody needs to know that, all right? But we also need to have faith in the power of God and expect God to move. Expect God to show up. Because that's what he wants to do. There's too many people who are sick today. And they need healing. They need the healing power of God. All right? And see, the church, this is what we're called to do. We're called to be the carriers or the conduits. All right? The anointing of God abides within us. Greater is the anointing in us than any sickness that's around us. Are you with me? Okay? And so that's what God's called us to do, all right? And so it's time for the church to rise up and to be the church. And so So I'm starting to try to change your thinking, okay? Because if you can expect someone to get saved, you should be able to expect someone to get healed. It's all the same. It's all the same Jesus. It's all the same power, right? And guess what? Healing is always now. It's not tomorrow. It's not years ago. You know, when Jesus ministered that lady who was bound up, Luke chapter 13, and she was in covenant, she was a daughter of Abraham, and the ruler of the synagogue got angry because Jesus healed on the Sabbath. And what, you know what Jesus said to him? You're a hypocrite. You're a hypocrite, okay? Because the ruler was saying, well, any other day than today. All right, and that's what religious thinking tells you. Okay, any other day, but not today. All right, no, healing is always now. Faith is now. Yes. Right, today is the day of salvation. Yes. Come on now, and so let's put a demand on the now. All right, because healing is now, and so it's going to always be now, because when tomorrow comes, it'll be now then. All right, yeah, I mean, you know, like any way you try to logically. It's always now, okay? But what religious thinking tries to do is just try to say, well, you know, when we get to heaven, or, you know, that was true back then, or that was true under Jesus' ministry. Whoa. No. Healing is for today. Healing is now. Jesus purchased it 2,000 years ago, but it's for now. Jesus came that we might have life, in life more abundantly. Everybody say, healing is now. Amen? All right. And like we said, it's just the same in Jesus' mind, you know, whether someone gets saved or someone gets healed. In Luke, I mean, there was a paralytic who was lowered down in the midst there, and Jesus looked at the Sadducees and the Pharisees, the doctors of the law, and he says, well, which is easier, to say your sins are forgiven or to say, rise up and be healed? Because it was all the same. It's all the same. Now, they expected Jesus to heal. They didn't know Jesus could forgive sin. Now we have the opposite problem. The church knows that Jesus can forgive sin. But we're wondering, but does Jesus still heal? See, the Pharisees, the doctors of law, they expected Jesus to heal. When Jesus showed up in a place, they expected Jesus to heal. They were the unbelievers. Yeah. And yet they had such an expectation of Jesus, hello, that they expected Jesus to heal. And they come into the meeting, oh, here he is. Oh, there he goes again. Blind person, oh, you just watch. Yep, they're going to be healed. Well, if the unbelievers, the religious folks, can believe that, expect that Jesus heals, hello, do we have some believers in the house this morning? Hallelujah. How many of y'all believe that Jesus heals? Jesus saves all the time. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, I tell you what, I think we're going to take just a short little break. I'm at 45 minutes here, so take a short little break. If you need to use the restroom, go ahead and use the restroom, okay? But be back in 4 or 5 minutes. Is that good? Okay. All right.